critical about it or anything. I know how people are.
I know things.
Hi there.
How are you?
It is 1 minute and 13 seconds after the hour 12 in this, the month of March, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios at Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS Radio family right here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is the Rick Emerson Show. We thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. If you'd like to get on board with today's program with your comments, clarifications, catches, what have you, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. And welcome to day 12. What is today? Friday, right? Damn, are we through our second week already?
Yes.
Just a blur. Coming up later on today, our good friend Scott Daly is going to be here for filmfever.org. You know why? You know why? Four words, baby. Four words, four syllables, one awesome film. And you know what I'm talking about. You know the film of which I speak. You know what I'm referring to. And if you don't, ye should be ashamed. So we are going to talk about that film later today.
Have you seen the logo for that film? It's awesome.
And we're just going to call it that film for a while. I've seen the logo. I've seen the trailer. I've been following it online. I saw when they tried to change the name of that film. I saw when the star of that film stood up and said, if you change the name of the film, I will leave this film.
Oh, people know what it is now.
You know what I'm talking about. So we'll talk about it later on with Scott Daly from filmfever.org. We have a Gore Watch coming up later on today. Geek Watch. Rick Emerson's Democracy on the March. And because of intolerant listener Steve in Vancouver, later on today, what is it, 12? So at 1:15, what did we say, 1:15? So 1:15 today, about an hour and 15 minutes from now, we'll be presenting some zany stand-up comedy for Steve in Vancouver, who called yesterday and went on, upbraided me at length on the air about how this station is sliding off of his presets because we don't have enough. There's just not enough Jeff Foxworthy, apparently, for Steve. So later on today, I'll present some stand-up comedy. Fresh, exciting stand-up material from this, The Rick Emerson Show. That's coming up at 1:15 today. What else? We will get to the top five. I got to get it done. I got to get the top five done today because we got to zero out, as they say, so that we can start fresh on Monday. Coming up later on today because Steven Tyler, who is 58, by the way, he's like the fourth rock star I've come across the same age as my dad, which is always a little unnerving. 58 years old. Having surgery for some undisclosed ailment, which I always assume he's just having a hip replaced. Like when a rock, there's two things. When a rock star is having some sort of unrevealed surgery, it's always that they're getting their hair stapled back to their head or just one of their hips is disintegrated. And that's what happened to Paul Stanley. It's who I love, but Paul Stanley was about a year and a half ago, he's jumping around on stage like the exuberant, fantastic guy that he is. Like the fabulous rock star that he is. He's jumping around and say, jump, 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 snap. And right into the hospital. I mean, what are you going to do? Paul Stanley's been, you know, he's been the star child for 30 years. It takes a toll. So as Steven Tyler recovers from his surgery today, we got the top five Aerosmith songs you probably don't hear because they don't ever get played on the radio. So we will play them today. Continuing and upholding the Rick Emerson Show tradition of playing better music than any music station you can find in this city. It's 503-733-2970. That is all on the way. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely Sarah F. Dillon. How are you?
Hello. I'm a little tired.
Who are the
in a good way.
Sisters?
Oh, it's my my friend's girlfriend's coffee shop.
All right, so it's not a band.
No.
All right.
I went and saw a band last night.
Doesn't make you want to drink the coffee there.
No. No, it does not.
Well, it's in Alaska, so I guess it's something.
Better than nothing, I suppose. Can't be too choosy up there.
It's in Homer, Alaska. Well, in Homer, Alaska, one takes what's available, yes.
At any port in the store.
Freshly brewed by the Spit Sisters.
Hey, speaking
good to the last drop.
Speaking of bands called Sisters, and I'm not going to get sidetracked by this.
Sure.
But because the Harry Potter film came out while we were off the air, was I wrong, or in that Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, which came out over the winter, so was that Blur that was portraying the Weird Sisters? You know that part where they went to the Winter Ball?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was the Weird Sisters, mm-hmm. who were that band who it's Honks' favorite band in the Harry Potter series. Was that Blur? that was portraying the Weird Sisters? Somebody told me it was.
It's some well-known band. I can't remember which one it was, though.
Some guy. All right. Tim Riley's preparing the following stories for your edification today in the newsroom.
It's shocking. 15 minutes of fame take a bizarre turn for that wilderness couple who survived 17 days snowbound in the Oregon wilderness. Now Arizona police say they're the same people wanted on drugs and weapons charges in their state.
That's hard to believe. I can't imagine that anybody who would go off and live for 2 weeks in the woods in an RV with their dirt-covered children would be wanted for something.
I just thought they were going away to Reader's Digest.
They were just going away
to expand their minds.
All right.
Al Gore says he won't run in 08 as Democrats breathe a sigh of relief. Britney is seen pounding down the booze and snuggling in a Vegas night spot. Tom Cruise jumps on another couch and is threatened with a boy caught by a South Park fan.
That's fantastic. All right, that is all coming up, as well as your comments, your emails, your all of that. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. My friends, my neighbors, my gentlemen, my assorted drunks and deviants, all of that. It is Friday. Thank you for coming by. Let's get to the news desk. The City Desk News with Tim Riley.
Top of one of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, PBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Oh, what a strange turn of events. They survived 17 days on the snowy Oregon wilderness, and now the Stivers family of Ashley wants to get back to a normal life. But not so fast, says Navajo County, Arizona Sheriff. Flanked by her in-laws, Marlo Hill Stivers held a press conference in Ashland. She says that's far more attention they could have ever imagined. Among those watching that news conference were Arizona deputies who, they say, busted those in-law parents last April. They were arrested but not charged on drug and weapons charges. Detectives said they held up on those charges in exchange for a promise by Albert Higginbotham and his
wife
Rebecca Ann Best to cooperate.
I didn't know his name was Higginbotham. That's fantastic.
Now, Higginbotham and Bess allegedly claim they were house-sitting.
Higginbotham and Bess.
When the place was busted, Higginbotham told them the methamphetamine and shotgun inside were not his, and they'd help them convict the real crooks. Instead, say deputies, they never saw the couple again until they showed up on national TV.
That's hard to believe. I'm stunned by that.
Mm-hmm. Navajo County Sheriff is moving to bring Higginbotham and Bess, who goes by the name Becky Higginbotham to some people.
Because that makes her sound like a sophisticate.
I know.
She no longer sounds like a toothless hick.
Back to Arizona to face charges and trial.
Good times.
Looks like they'll have plenty of time to read those back issues of Reader's Digest.
Life in this deserted cell house.
A former Portland Archbishop has been elevated. He becomes a cardinal Friday. James Levitas, one of 50 new cardinals installed today in the Vatican.
Usually it's never mind. I'm not even going to go with it. I don't have the Z sound effect. All of my terrible FM morning show jokes, none of them really work without the Z sound effect, because it just they lack any sort of comedic punch. See, let's pretend. See if I had the Z sound effect here.
Well, this isn't time for stand up comedy yet, anyway.
No, it's not. That's coming next hour. If I had the Z sound effect, give you what? Read that last story again.
Hang on a minute.
Wait, sir, do we have anything? What do we have
in the way of
sound? Okay, so Tim,
a former Portland Archbishop has been elevated. He became a cardinal Friday. James Levita was one of 15 new cardinals installed today by Pope Benedict at the Vatican.
You know, usually it's the priests that are doing the elevating, except it's an altar boy who's being elevated. thank you.
I hope you're listening in Vancouver.
Steve, that's a little tease there, Steve. That's a little.
We're saving the good stuff for later.
It's a tiny little taste of what you're going to get. That's a hint of the Emerson magic that is coming your way later on, you ungrateful bastard.
Well, let's talk about a murdering minister, shall we?
Okay.
That's the cue to go to the sound bites here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
The wife of a minister found dead in a church parsonage has confessed to shooting him and fleeing to Alabama to begin a new life.
Fleeing to Alabama. Of all of the places.
Uh-huh.
Of all
but
of
this
the...
is from Tennessee. So what are your options, really?
Because is it sort of a relative thing that, like, when you come from... I would sort of think, because Tennessee's above Alabama, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But Alabama's a land of new beginnings.
Okay.
Well, anyway, Mary Winkler told investigators she shot her husband on Wednesday.
What is it with all these names? And Albert Higginbotham, and what was it? Higginbotham and Bess?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a future FM country morning show right there. That's, you know, someday my name will be replaced by Higginbotham and Bess. All right. I'm sorry. And who's this?
Let's see, Mary Winkler.
And then we're going to talk to Selma Police Investigator Roger Rickman, who told reporters the couple's 1, 6, and 8-year-old daughters did not witness her father's death.
What soundbite is this?
Pastor number one.
Pastor number one.
Yeah, pastor number one.
Oh, sorry, that's me. No, I'm playing it. I've just got it turned off.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's me.
The little girls were not present at the time the murder took place. As a matter of fact, he went on to say that the little girls to this moment still didn't even know that, in fact, that their dad was deceased.
Well, that'll be a fun conversation. Look forward to that.
Meanwhile, this is the second one. There's no explanation on why this murder occurred.
Church members, people here in the community have all said they seem to be the typical, quote, all-American family. He was outside playing with the girls, always playing basketball. The mother would come home from school. They seem to have what was on the outside, in quotations, a perfect marriage, a perfect family unit.
Okay, don't we just know by now that that is the giveaway, that somebody's molesting somebody or somebody's going to cut somebody's head off and somebody...
Or if they're waving a flag.
That's how you know. I mean, like, as far as I know, no murder happened in any of our families or whatever. That's because our families are probably all whack looking. Look, I'm just saying, our families are all very obviously and externally flawed. Everybody that we've talked about, our families are all screwed up. Everybody's family is bizarre. If you know somebody where it's like, you know, it's like, you know, the parents are always fighting or somebody's whacking somebody around or whatever. You know, that's the family where nobody's going to be wearing anybody else's skin, though, at the end of the year. But it's that house where it's like the dad comes home and he's got the white picket fence and they're all eating life cereal around the table every morning. That's a family where there's like a secret door in the basement covered by a steel plate that nobody's ever allowed to go in because dad keeps the pickled fetuses in there. So that's... And you all know what I'm talking about. That we had a family like that when I was growing up in Kennewick. We had a family like that lived across the street, and they seemed, they seemed perfect from the outside. And it was like the blonde-haired, blue-eyed daughters, and it was the dad and the mom and the RV, and they took a lot of church picnics, and they flew their flag 365 days a year. And the dad was bending over the daughter at night, and everybody knew. You know, it's like nobody knew about it. So those, that's when there are no signs. That in and of itself is the sign.
Meanwhile, Mary Winkler was arrested after she left the Waffle House in Orange Beach, Alabama, 340 miles away from her home after a filling meal.
That's
the family was well-liked.
Okay.
Meanwhile, it looks like American Idol Paula Abdul's search for love may have paid off. People magazine reports the former singer and dancer has been getting cozy with actor Tony Chiena. The pair apparently went on a date last week where they were spotted holding hands. When Chiena attended the Idol taping the following night, Abdul reportedly made a quick visit to him in the audience. Her publicist says they were just friends.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They've known each other for...
I thought she was getting it on with... Or was that just a one-time thing that she was getting it on with that contestant?
Oh, that was just a one-week
thing. Paula Abdul, it was like she was a bunch of answering messages where she was...
Yep.
She was leaving the, come over and I'll help you with your elocution. Or whatever, she was leaving the guy a bunch of... All I know about American Idol is this. And this is actually one of those times, because, we get behind a lot on this show. Mm-hmm. And where we plan things, and we plot things, and I schedule things, and we never get to them. And usually that is to our detriment. But I am glad that we didn't get to some stuff this week, because I had a whole... My wife has sort of fallen into this watching American Idol. And she's resisted for a long time, but this season she's watching American Idol. And there was this nitwit. And you all know who I'm talking about. Even if you're not an American Idol fan, the Kevin Covace guy. He looks like the little... He looks like that little bird from the Warner Brothers cartoons that's the child of the widow. You know, there's Foghorn Leghorn, and then there's the widow, and then there's the little bird with the huge glasses and the beanie. He looks exactly like that. He looks like some sort of plucked poultry item. Anyway, he was a contestant on American Idol, and you could tell that they were anointed. There's been this really, really obvious trend on all of those shows recently where they're trying to, manufacture the underdog. And it's because of William Hung. The William Hung thing was such a ratings bonanza for those guys that they're trying to manufacture the likable sort of come-from-behind misfit who can't really sing and who's a dork and who's whatever. And he's just like a bespectacled freak. And but Lara was watching it, and I totally predicted. I went in, and I saw the guy singing, and I immediately spotted him. I'm like, this is a guy that they're going to manufacture a whole bunch of media hype around, and they're going to try to make it a whole will he or won't he win. And he's going to be like America's sweetheart because he's the guy, because he's not good-looking, and he can't really sing, but he's got heart, and he's got whatever. And I actually went so far as to pull all of this sound about him because I was going to make this prediction that they were going to manufacture this whole buzz around this Kevin Covace guy in American Idol. And then I did, we never actually did. I never got a chance to do it. And then I, but sure enough, like this week and last week, USA Today had like 4 days in a row of coverage about him. And then I think he finally got bounced like the night before last. I think they blew him out. So I never did it, but I don't know what my point was. I have no point here.
Talk about Paula Abdul.
Paula Abdul. No one cares. Big ass.
A trailer featuring real actors recreating the opening sequence of The Simpsons is to be shown on Fox Sunday night. The live-action trailer was created by Sky One in Britain and was originally an advertisement for the UK channel, but was quickly circulated by email.
That's the thing that's gone around. Everybody's seen it. It's on YouTube. Everybody's seen it like a billion times, yeah.
It's going to be on Sunday night, so make sure you're watching.
There you go.
Won't you? A Fort Hood soldier and his wife have been accused of injury to a child for allegedly forcing their 3-year-old daughter to beat up an older boy as they videotaped it. Dennis Bittinger, 22, was arrested Wednesday with his wife, Rhonda, and taken into custody.
Rhonda's a trashy name. You've never known a Rhonda who... What the hell? Okay, here's what Sarah just did. As I said, Rhonda's a trashy name, Sarah nodded, and then she gave the universal body language sign for fatty by puffing up her cheeks and putting her arms around her as though she was a big O.
No, I'm sure there are many thin Rhondas, Rick.
Name one.
Rhonda just, it sounds like what
Rhonda.
It is, rotund.
Rhonda. It's like that, it sounds like that geographical shape, the rhombus. That's completely what it sounds like. Hey, kids, today, if you know somebody, if you go to school with a girl named Rhonda, start calling her rhombus. I'm going to see if I can start that right now. So from now on, any school child named Rhonda, her new nickname, to be said repeatedly and without mercy until she cries, is rhombus.
Wait till Rhonda's mother sees you in the supermarket.
like Rhonda's mom is any fitter than she is. Rhonda's mom, Debbie.
Okay. Now go ahead and eat that box of Triscuit. It's a long way to the checkouts.
Anyway, and it is funny, by the way, that there is the universal symbol for fatty, and it's just that Stay Puft. And you've got to make that sound, too, right? Because you hear that sound when somebody's puffing up their cheeks and they're putting their arms out. And Sarah totally did the arms, like, her arms were like two parentheses, like one on either side. And it was you can hear the sound of the, and that's totally what it is, sort of a blurb kind of a sound.
So I should finish the story.
Well, let me ask you this, Tim. Certainly. Is it or is it not true?
Yes.
That what is her name at K2? Rhonda. Who are we talking about? Rhonda. Isn't there Rhonda?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't think of her last name, but she's the woman who usually does weather, and she co-anchors.
Her name's Rhonda K2?
Yeah.
Oh, the blonde girl?
No, she's not blonde.
No, she's a, you know, not blonde.
No, she's a brunette.
She's a black woman.
Oh.
But is it, that was a great moment of awkwardness there. Is she blonde? And Tim and I just kind of go,
oh, no.
Well, no, she's not blonde. she's really, really not blonde. She's,
We're being truthful. we're just being truthful.
Okay, but my question...
We're being inquisitive.
She's chocolate love. My question is, Tim Riley, is it or is it not true?
Yes.
That you once called K2 and asked if she was pregnant.
Because I believe it was you who asked me to find out if that was a fact.
I did not. I would never.
Now, somebody had... Who else would I do such a thing for if I was asked to?
What? I don't know.
Have I any friends in that building or any place that we've ever worked for that matter?
So, exactly how did the phone call take place? Did you call K2 and just ask the front desk girl?
No, I knew the woman's name in HR, and I figured that she would know if anyone would. No, I'm sorry, the PR woman. I knew her number, so I called her directly.
Rhonda Shelby is her name.
Rhonda Shelby.
Okay, and so...
And I said, is Rhonda expecting?
What did they say?
And now, this happened a long, long time ago. This is not recent. Rhonda is a delightful-looking woman at this point.
Were you actually curious whether or not she was pregnant? Or
somebody must have put me up to it, otherwise I wouldn't have made the call. Yeah,
Tim, of course, would never do anything mean unprompted. And so you said, is Rhonda expecting?
Right. And she said, answer you should ask, because I asked her the same thing, and the answer is no.
They had asked her the same thing? Oh.
Now, it might not be the current people working there, but during the year that I called, and I'm not going to specify what year that was, that was what the reply was.
And so my reply is, well, if that becomes reality, will you give me a call back? And she said, I certainly will. And I never got the phone call, so they may have changed personnel. And, of course, we changed jobs and phone numbers on several occasions. So, and, but I was responding to a request by a fellow coworker.
Not me. I did not put you up to it.
And it is my job to determine facts and make phone calls, regardless of what the situation might be.
You just with dispassionate inquiry, you have to find out you have to find out the reality of all the journalistic situations.
Absolutely. And that's all it was.
Okay.
The answer was no. Once again, the answer was no.
Was it Mike Chase that asked you to do this?
I don't remember. It was many years ago.
Okay.
But it followed a long discussion because I wasn't the only one who was talking about it.
Okay, wait, just stop.
I think it's time for some stand-up, don't you?
I'm going to have some sort of an embolism here. The point is, you've never met a thin Rhonda, and neither have I. Even Rhonda Shear's not, you know, she's not really thin. Okay, let's stop. Sarah, can we break here?
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll return to the story of the couple accused of making a three-year-old fight in just a moment.
Oh, I wish there was video of that. All right. We'll be back. 503-733-2970 is the phone number. Christ. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson Show. As though you had any doubt. As though you thought you were listening to Lars. We'll be back after this. Am I under arrest or should I guess them up? Well, you was doing 55 in the 54. Uh-huh. Lost the registration, it's the body of the car. You carrying a weapon on you, I know a lot of you are. Okay. Let's all get a hold of ourselves. No one's having any babies anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson. Well, that's not probably. Oh, now see, now is this. Okay, is this Lisa Goddard from CNN calling?
It is. She's
okay.
Okay.
You have to keep her on the phone. You can't put her on hold because I got to explain why we're having her on the air here. She can't know.
Okay.
Okay. Ready and answer it now. Okay, here's the thing. This is like a game show method. No, here's the thing. So according to the CNN prep sheet, you know, we were talking yesterday about how Lisa Goddard is kind of sexy and how she's got a little crush on me.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, this is absolutely true. I'm holding in my hand the CNN prep sheet here.
Okay.
It says, CNN's Lisa Goddard promises to explain to you why the deficit is sexy. Why the deficit is sexy. That's actually what the CNN prep sheet says today. So understand, I don't care about the deficit, neither do you. But we're going to see if she can actually make the deficit sound sexy. Okay, that's what we're going to do today. All right.
Should we get that appropriate music that we use?
No, probably not, because she doesn't know this.
Oh.
She doesn't know that that's what the prep sheet... I don't think she knows that they said it that way. All right.
Probably some 19-year-old...
So there
intern.
You go. And then they found the stump later in a ditch. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we have a senior radio correspondent, Gary Baumgarten, who's going to join us, talk about internet fraud. Also got today's top five. We'll be doing that stand-up at 1:15. And Scott Daly from FilmFever.org. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now from Washington, D.C., CNN radio correspondent and fluent speaker of Russian, Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Rick. How are you?
Lisa, I'm rolling along and doing my thing and just using the small amount of talent that God gave me. So how is your day going today? Would you give it like more than an 8 out of 10 today so far?
So far today, yeah. I think solid. Definitely solid.
That's fantastic. Okay, so are you hearing a strange beeping sound, Lisa?
Yeah, I think it just went away. I think that was on my end.
Okay, all right.
Sorry about that. It's just slipping from an 8 to a 7.
Okay, are you some sort of a news bot, and this means it's time for you to be plugged back in, or...?
No, it's okay.
All right.
Oh, it's my computer beeping at me.
So here's the thing. I want to ask you this about the deficit. Now, please don't think less of me when I say this.
Oh, here we go.
I don't know what the deficit is. I don't know what it means. I know that do we owe money to, who do we owe money to?
Right. See, this is all great stuff. This is really, I think this is very fertile ground. This is sort of like, some great fudge intellectual brownie that you don't know how it's made, you don't know what the deal is, but you know you need to dig in. All right, the basics are, the deficit is how much government spends over how much government takes in. So it's how much red ink the government has. And right now, that deficit this year, I'm sorry, to the last fiscal year was $300 billion. We spent $380 billion more than we took in.
Okay.
Government.
Here's what I don't understand, and this is because I have only like the barest rudiments of an American education. So it really would not be possible for me, let's say, to spend $300 billion more than I had.
You could try.
I could try, but I'd be in debtor's prison. I'd be thrown into some sort of Dickensian jail. So I sometimes hear that we owe money to, like, do we owe money to other countries?
We do.
How is that? Who would we owe money to?
What happens is, and the deficit is a part of this, but it's not all of this, but look at the deficit. We're spending more than we bring in. So where do we get that money? Well, we sell bonds. We sell guarantees for the future to other people who are willing to loan us money. And sometimes those bonds go to individuals. You and I can buy U.S. savings bonds, as many as we want. But other countries also buy those bonds. They also buy debt instruments, giving the U.S. cash, floating us, so that we can spend more than we bring in for a little while, and in the meantime our debt increases every time the deficit happens. Every deficit adds to our national debt again and again, and somebody out there is loaning us money, whether that's individual Americans or, as is more often the case, larger entities like corporations and other countries. And so all of this debt, get ready for this figure, all of this debt has added up now to $8.3 trillion. To give you a sense of how much that is, that's 8 million million or $28,000 for every single American, every woman, man, child in this country.
Okay. Well,
that's our debt that we owe to other entities around the world.
And just make sure I understand. So is the deficit the yearly amount and the debt is the total aggregate amount?
Yes, that's a great way of saying
it. Yeah, listen to that.
Good job. Thank exactly.
You. Thank you. Okay, now, let me ask you this, and I can't be the first person to have asked this, but why don't we just not pay it? I mean, what are they going to do?
Right. Well, that's, in fact, we're not necessarily paying down the amount of our debt increases. So we're not necessarily paying it down. We're adding to our debt. And we have that option. Deficits aren't always bad. Sometimes a deficit is good. It can help the economy. And when you have a strong country, when you have a strong economy like the U.S. has, you can do it. But right now there's a lot of concern because of the size of this deficit and the size of the debt getting so huge. We do have the option not to pay it down, and that's what we've been doing. We've been building the debt more and more, not paying it down, building it. But there's a point where it may get so large that the world financial markets might start to say, we don't know if the U.S. really is going to be able to pay this back were we to call it in. And it could get so large that it could cause some nervousness out there in the rest of the world, could affect interest rates here in this country dramatically. Now, it's kind of a doomsday scenario where ultimately some people say it could lead to a very serious recession or even a depression. We're not there yet, and the fact is nobody knows if or when we will get there, but it's poking up on the radar now. People are starting to talk about it, starting to say, all right, we're getting a little bit, this debt is getting a little bit too big.
And part of me just does wonder, like if we owe money to Malaysia or something, just like, who cares? I mean, it's kind of like owing money to a 90-year-old guy in a wheelchair in Kansas. He's really not going to be able to do anything about that, Pay him, don't pay him. He can't make it happen.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but some people say, the mentality the U.S. has had for the 20th century, that we were leading the world economically and financially, we can't necessarily assume that. We have to make sure we're on solid footing. We can't just assume that our reputation and that our internal economy is enough to propel us to compete with everyone else in the world in the 21st century. So we're saying we just can't make these assumptions that we're okay. We've got to watch these numbers carefully. And then another reason to care about this debt, this one I find very interesting, is we're paying interest on this debt. So even if we're not paying it down, we do have to pay the interest every year. And the interest alone last year was $350 billion.
You know, it's like I can barely get my TiVo bill paid now. And I have a job. So I don't understand.
Our economy, right.
Seriously, I'm just going to start stockpiling canned goods and buying a lot of those coins they advertise late at night during a Jerry Springer.
Right, the Franklin Mint, right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a very smart idea. You know, when you think about a figure like that, we're paying $350 billion in interest. That is roughly, depending on who you talk to, but that's roughly the total cost so far of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that's what we paid last year in interest on the national debt. So it's a real issue that taxpayers should pay attention to. I mean, if taxpayers are okay with that debt, if they think this is we need this debt to propel our economy, that's fine. But if something's a lot of money, and I think it's kind of sexy, as you know. I think it's something people need to pay attention to.
Here's a little secret between you and me, Lisa. Most people are deeply, deeply stupid and don't really understand or okay. I'm one of the few who is stupid who will admit it that I have so little knowledge of any of this. So,
maybe I'm too much of an idealist. I don't buy that. I think Americans are really smart. I think maybe they might be a little too trusting of their government. You know, I think most Americans are a lot smarter than they get credit for. I think most lawmakers are not as smart as they get credit for.
I'm glad to see that you can see my inner intelligence, though.
It's coming through loud and clear. It's almost like an aura. I can see it.
Hey, Lisa, I have to say, do you want to know how Rick spent his afternoon yesterday?
Oh, no. How?
I'm sorry?
I'm trying to find pictures of you on
the
internet.
That is not true. That's completely untrue.
Yeah, you found one.
No way. You know, that is a drastic revision of
how
yesterday's
events.
How do you
explain that you knew that she spoke Russian?
That's a good question. You're right. I'm a little scared. Is this actually a radio show? Who am I talking to?
I'm just a guy in my boxer shorts on a couch somewhere. It's one of those...
I'm glad I've got a friend there that's watching out for me.
Look at the time. This time's really getting away from us. Are you hearing some... I think we're losing your call. All right. I
had to do something to divert from the deficit. I'm sure you were worried your listeners were falling asleep at the wheel.
Not at all. I do believe you held them with enrapt attention.
Spellbound.
All right. Lisa Goddard, thank you.
Hey, anytime.
Right, thank you. That's Lisa Goddard there. CNN radio correspondent from Washington, D.C. Way to throw me under the bus. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Well, I'm sorry. I think she needs to know what she's in for.
She's still alive. I think she's listening on hold still.
Do you think she can hear?
I don't know. Let's see if she's still there. Lisa Goddard?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, ow, damn it. All right, hold on. You pick her up and talk to her.
Hey, Lisa.
Yeah, that wasn't
right,
awkward.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, okay, yeah, thanks. Yeah, have a swell weekend. Thanks.
Well, that was
funny.
High school valedictorian speech.
Sons of bitches. Oh, all right.
So do you find the deficit sexy now?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not in any way. That Lisa Goddard, on the other hand. But no, the deficit.
She's pretty.
She is.
And an educated young lady.
And smart. Mm-hmm. And again, as I noted yesterday, she got a degree in economics, so you know that you're...
And Russian.
You back the truck up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
She could probably talk about a Russian deficit.
We should make her talk about something in Russian next time. All right. Let's just...
Vladimir Putin.
All right. Okay. Well, let's just pretend that this whole thing never happened. Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hear some... Who's ready for Tim? Here's some Tim.
I am. A Fort Hood, Texas soldier and his wife were accused of injury to a child for allegedly forcing their 3-year-old daughter to beat up an older boy as they videotaped it. The couple allegedly staged the fight. Apparently, the couple babysit for a 5-year-old son of a friend. When the boy's mother ran to pick him up, she turned on the couple's video camera, which had previously been used to tape the children playing. Police said the tape showed the soldier commanding his daughter to knock the victim down, kick him, and hit him in the face. The girl follows her father's instructions as the boy cries and pleads for her to stop, but the girl continues to beat the boy.
So he's a boy being beaten up by a girl substantially younger than he is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. And it's on video.
Yep. Good. The tape also shows the man declaring his daughter the winner as he shoves the boy and demands to know why he couldn't defend himself.
Yeah, that's a kid that's going to be wearing some pantyhose and firing at people with a gun randomly off a tower somewhere.
The boy with bruises and mentally destroyed forever. Bond has been set at $100,000 each for the wife and her husband. It's not clear how much the girl will be fined.
No,
I
think the... problem. That's in about 15 years. That's a boy that you're going to find in a few years, and he's going to have the heads of a whole bunch of girls who look just like that sitting on a shelf at his house.
That's a shame.
Yes. You can just already see that unfolding. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Walter Cronkite has castigated producers of the network of nightly newscasts, including stories about your health and mine and your backyard and mine and all that kind of thing at the expense of more substantial reports. It doesn't belong on the evening news, Cronkite said in an interview in Texas.
It doesn't belong on the evening news.
There are important stories, a very complicated world to cover. We need to cover that. We can't do it in 15 or 16 minutes, apparently suggesting that the TV networks ought to dispense with commercials with the nightly newscast. Cronkite remarked, the network should give us a full hour. It's ridiculous to have as little time as we have.
Sounds like communism to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I tell you, though, I picked up, I don't know if you're a fan of the movie Network.
I am. I watched it again on Turner Movie Classics.
Oh, man. It was like the week before we came on the air, so I didn't really get to pimp it as hard as I wanted.
Yeah.
But the week before we came back on the air, Network came as a special two-disc set,
yeah,
which I've been waiting for. I'm not going to go on and on about it, except to say that, like, Network's been out on DVD for a few years. It is one of my favorite films of all time. I go back and forth between that and Glengarry Glen Ross. But the DVD has just been ass for the longest time. It's like the transfer's been all bad and the audio is terrible. No special features. So they put out finally a double disc set. They did actually a whole Sidney Lumet series. They did Dog Day Afternoon. They did Network. And then they did some other films. They did All the President's Men. They did like a whole series of 70s reissues. Anyway, the point is, one of the special features on the Network double disc set, which I urge everybody to buy and own now, is Walter Cronkite. They have a whole thing of Walter Cronkite talking about not only his thoughts on Network and how it relates to the development of television news, but also describing how the Network people, Paddy Chayefsky and Sidney Lumet, actually came and spent time with, Chancellor and Walter Cronkite in the 70s to research for it. And, you know, I know this is kind of an inside shop talk kind of a thing, but I mean, there's going to be... I really regret that, and I know you do too, Tim, that we missed out on that kind of golden age of journalism where the hard-boiled guys with the Smith Corona and the shot of whiskey.
Let's go have a scotch.
Totally. And yeah, exactly. And where they would all do the newscast, and then Murrow and I went across the street and had a few belts, you know. And
Took Shores.
Yeah.
Sandwich.
Exactly. We all missed, you know, we sat and talked about the Blitz. And I missed that whole era, but he talked about... Cronkite talked about going with, Chancellor and who was the Howard K. Smith, how they all got together and they went to see Network on opening night, and
oh,
then they went
cool.
And got loaded at a bar somewhere. And it's just one of those stories that just makes me long for those days. I mean, it's just like that I never got to experience. So, good times. What is this? Who, Sarah? Is this real?
I don't know.
All right, well, remind me to talk about the world domination map later.
Okay.
Let me write it down.
World domination. Okay.
Domination.
Is that after the stand-up?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick. This is Hans from the dorm of Rick London.
So, wait, is this the Hans we've emailed before, haven't we?
Yes, we have. I put together your Wikipedia entry about
a
month ago.
You know, one of the happiest days of my life was when I saw that I had a Wikipedia entry, by the way.
Well, I wanted to tell you I was on there today because I'm a sad, sad, lonely man, and I was doing an edit of your entry because I check it once in a while, and one of, I assume, a former coworker of yours has added quite a bit of information under the Penis Watch and Hick Watch section.
Thank you. Some of it rather
critical of you being repulsed by tobacco and into hair metal bands.
Thank you. Oh, I saw that, and they misspelled Axl Rose. I saw that.
Yeah.
Not that I compulsively check my own online. Not that I compulsively surf the web for news about myself.
Sure.
So you are in London, and so this is now. Were you from Portland? Is that how you know the show?
Yeah. So I actually remember listening to you, and I know you hate it when people say this. I remember listening to you when I was in high school.
No, that's fine.
And I remember you coming on and off the air.
Now, how old are you?
And back on and off. I'm 21.
And so you started listening when you were how old?
Oh, gosh. By the time I listened to anything, let's see, I was probably 15, 16 years old.
Boy, that does make me feel old. I mean, it's fine. I mean, I'm not complaining. It just does mark the passage of time. And so what are you doing in London?
I'm getting a master's degree at the London School of Economics and Political Science.
Now, that's where Mick Jagger went, isn't it?
That is where Mick Jagger went, John F. Kennedy went here for a year, and all sorts of members of Al-Qaeda, so it's kind of a mixed bag.
Fantastic. And so why, this is a dumb question, I don't know the answer, why, it seems weird, do you plan on living in England or in Europe? Because it seems strange if you're going to study it there.
The deal's pretty much that I came over here because it was cheaper, and it only took 1 year, and I wanted to kind of get out of the States for a little while.
So it's a dumb question. If you study economics in London, do you have to? Do they cover, like, the American way of economics? Is there a big difference between the two?
Well, I mean, no. That's kind of a universal type thing, but I'm actually studying criminal justice policy.
Oh, I see.
So I'm not even studying econ. The school's gotten a bit bigger since it was first founded.
Okay, criminal justice. So are you going to be one of those guys in the underground bunker at Quantico?
Well, I think at some point in the near future, I'm probably going to be the man. That's the idea.
Excellent.
In the next couple of years, I'll get hired as the man.
All right. Well, promise to take any investigations of me very lightly.
Yeah, but I think I'll do that.
Excellent. Well, God bless you, sir. We appreciate it. Now, because there's this thing, we might as well talk about it now. There's this thing that I've got it bookmarked on my new page on rickemerson.com, the Rick Emerson World Domination Map.
I am on the World Domination Map, and I'll try to start encouraging the other members of the Dorm of Rick over here. We've got all sorts of international contingents.
The Dorm of Rick. So is that dudes over there who are into the show?
More or less. My roommate and I are quite fairly avid listeners. He's from Pakistan, so, you know, ear spreading.
All right. Excellent. Good news. So I'll be heard in madrasas all over the world soon.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, Hans, thank you. What time is it there?
It is just coming up on 9 p.m. over here.
It's almost time for a book before bedtime.
9 p.m. Friday?
Yeah, 9 p.m. Friday.
All right. Well,
time travel just because we're a few hours away, Rick.
I'm just saying. Look, college boy, it's just a question. I know that you're going to the London School of Economics and all. All right. Well, Hans, thank you so much. You spread the word. Thank you again for the wiki entry. I appreciate it. And you call us anytime, my friend.
No worries. Cheers, Rick.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. There you go.
I'm envious.
Are you?
That is the world's finest city.
London?
No,
see,
more expensive than New York, though. But you'll never be bored for a moment.
Lara's much more of a traveler, you know, than I am, and she keeps nagging me to go, because I've never been outside America. I've never been anywhere except in this country. Mm-hmm. And she keeps nagging me to go to another country. And I keep saying, like, my response is always that there's so many places in America that I still haven't gone. And I feel like I don't even know my own country well enough to start, like, going to the rest of the world. But she keeps pushing me to go to London.
Yeah, you might as well, because, I mean, there's East Coast, West Coast, and nothing in between here. See, you might as well go on to London.
Mm-hmm. I haven't even been to Graceland. I haven't. Come on. I mean,
go to London, Rick.
London.
All right. Well, anyway. So there you go. So dudes the world over. But you go to rickemerson.com, and it's on the, you go there, and it's lower on the right-hand side. Under Emerson Army, there's the dudes who have the Emerson Army MySpace group. Our pal Scott put that together, hundreds of people in that. And then, and again, I hate to be just like the guy just going on and on and on about how great we are, but I mean, but it is pretty damn cool, actually. And I'm looking at it right now. You go to rickemerson.com, try not to get distracted by the pictures of enormous breasts, and then on Emerson Army, you go to Global Domination Map.
It's in the right-hand column.
Clicking it right now. Now the key is, actually, when you go to this, though, mm-hmm. what it does is it lets people... It lets people actually log in and show, like, where they are and where they live in the world. I've seen it's actually down for something. It looks like it's... I wonder if it's been overloaded. Yeah,
it's because you mentioned it.
It's actually crashing at the moment. Well, anyway, the point is, it lets people sort of say where they are. If you're a fan of the show or if you're a fan of whatever, it lets people say where they are. But I think you may actually have to belong to MySpace to do it. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, but you can register, and when you go there... It actually has so many members, there's a button at the bottom that says show like 500 more or show 100 more. Well, you have to basically click it to show all of them. And they are all over the country and all over the world. They're Australia and, Europe and everywhere. So it is pretty amazing. So check that out. It's at rickemerson.com. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, let's see what's on the TV tonight, shall we? I thought the show went off the air years ago. America's Funniest Home Videos.
Well, how would you even know if it was like a rerun? I mean, it's like, that's one.
I know.
There's no way to know what it is.
I mean, people's pants falling down or falling off chairs.
Now, and guys
like
getting hit in the junk with golf clubs. That's
tonight,
it.
It's magicians and magic gone bad.
Well, after Arrested Development, it's all, why would you even bother to watch that?
Child Stars, Their Story. About 4 hours of that on A&E tonight, but we've already seen it already on E under a different title. Let's see here. Most Haunted, more of those ghost stories. People with those black and white cameras with scowls on their faces.
Oh, this is where a guy kept, like, film some steam coming out of a pipe. And
uh-huh.
No, it's the ghost of Anne Bancroft.
Yeah. And they hear, you know, some rafters creaking. Oh, it's in here.
Yes.
And What Not to Wear. The host looks like Scott Daly on that show.
What Not to Wear? I think Lara watches that. Isn't that where they get people on who dress badly and uh-huh. they ridicule them? And then they burn their wardrobe?
Yep.
Yeah, good times.
And the host looks like Scott Daly.
Now, it's about time. I got to do that again. I was talking about this the other day. I got to do another shopping trip because I got this. Like, Sarah and I did a couple big shopping trips last year, and then the unemployment came. And it's like, what do I care? You know, so I'm just on the couch wearing my you know, wearing my boxer shorts with big white whales on them. Just that's like my everyday outfit. I tried, as I noted the other day, I tried to buy myself some clothing this weekend, and it didn't work. I went to the Gap, and I was just like wandering around, just wandering like a Jew in the desert, just had no, just looking, and I have no idea where I'm going, and just nothing. And I had nothing at all, just totally wandering around lost for 40 years trying to find clothing. And the guy's like, can I help you? Sort of like, I don't know, you know? And I was just so desperately trying to find something that worked, and there's just nothing. And I found a pair of jeans that I actually wanted to buy. But the problem is, like, I've been bicycling, and I've been trying to do the diet and all that. But I've actually lost enough weight now that I'm, like, this weird, odd size where I'm, like, I've actually gone down a waist size, but, of course, I haven't, like, I'm not any shorter than I was. And so I've got, like, this odd, freakish size that they never stock. And so I'm now that guy that goes, well, maybe you could buy these online. And it's like buying your clothing online just sounds like a risky proposition. You know what I mean? First of all, because it makes me feel like one of those fat guys that's got to order everything out of the big and tall husky section of the Sears catalog in the mail. And plus, you know, you buy something online, you know it's going to show up, and it's never going to work. You have to send it back.
They're like those Parade magazine slacks. Five pairs for $3.
Totally. It's like you're shopping via the Hager's website. Yeah.
Or miniature Mayberry Village, approved by Andy Griffith.
That's totally it. So I have nothing. And plus, of course, I'm bicycling to work, and I stop at the Gap, and so I look all scummy, so I got my bike shorts on. This loose, you know, because you wear loose-fitting clothing to work out. So I got a loose-fitting shirt. I'm stinking. I'm covered in sweat.
And it's time to go to a meeting.
My hair is matted to my face. I've got the big red line across my forehead from the bicycle helmet. And I'm walking into the Gap going, well, someone give me clean clothing to put on. You know, totally. So they don't even want to help me because I just look like scum. And then I walk, and she didn't notice me, that I walked right into Tara from KNRK. I was coming out of the changing room, wham! Oh, sorry, I didn't, and she didn't even look up. She's like, yeah, no problem. And she, like, kept walking, and it was her. She was totally her from KNRK. And I'm like, and that was the day after I'd said that I had that dream where I was making out with Jamie Cooley. So I was just like, like layer upon layer of bad awkwardness. So, I have no point. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, fans of television comedy are stuck in a time warp, apparently. Viewers are watching more sitcoms every week than they did a decade ago, and a new study concludes, unfortunately, they're the old ones. Friends, Seinfeld, who could watch this thing again? Everybody loves Raymond. I can't continue. There have been a handful of new sitcom successes this year, most recently the promising start of the Julia Louis-Dreyfus, The New Adventures of Old Christine. That's a horrible show.
Are you saying that they're perhaps not accurate when they say that these are fantastic new groundbreaking?
I tried watching that. I really did. And halfway through, this writing is so bad.
What is the Julia Louis-Dreyfus thing?
I don't know. It's supposed to be some kind of sitcom.
Isn't it her third attempt to break the Seinfeld curse?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she doesn't even need to work. She's a billionaire. I mean, and not
we're
just...
We're in the building that's built by her father.
Yeah, really?
This is the Louis-Dreyfus building.
Yeah, the Dreyfus Fund. That's her dad. So, she has no need to work. She's been given that, you know, she's yielding that to some people who need the work. So,
But that makes her kind of endearing. I mean, because she doesn't have to work, but she keeps on trying.
I suppose. It's easy to be, you know what it is? It's easy to enter the world of art when you're, like, independently wealthy. I don't know, it's not that I'm seething with bitter jealousy. The only sitcoms that I've seen in the last couple of years two of them are on this year that I'm not a big fan. Like, I don't really watch them because I just don't know who has the time. But Everybody Hates Chris is pretty good. Everybody Hates Chris is not a bad show. It's not groundbreaking, but there's no laugh track. It's not in front of a studio audience. It's like a multiple camera setup. Everybody Hates Chris is good. And My Name is Earl is actually laugh out loud funny. I am a big fan of My Name is Earl. It's got a great soundtrack, too, and it's got Ethan Suplee, who is a fan. And, of course, it's got Jason Lee, who is one of the finest comic actors of our generation. So
you know what's become acceptable? The Office, the American version.
The Office is not bad, actually, you know, because we talked about this at our last station.
Mm-hmm.
The Office was very mediocre for a while, but The Office, you know what it is? They found their own voice.
Right. It's better than mediocre.
Yeah, it's passable. Well, The Office is sort of like V for Vendetta to me. Not perfect, got flaws, but still so much better than most of the other stuff that's out there. And the true proof that The Office has achieved some kind of American version of greatness is that it is cringe-inducingly uncomfortable. And I don't mean that it's bad. I mean, you watch it and you just want, your skin starts to crawl off your body because the show is so awkward. Like what was the episode I watched a while back? It's one where he's, Steve Carell's character, he's not David Brent, whatever his name is, he's supposed to be doing a market research economics report, and instead he does this sort of puff piece with or without you by U2 or whatever, and it was so...
And then he was doing speeches by Mussolini at a sales convention.
And I'm watching it on the couch just going, oh, Jesus God! You know, and it's like it used to be with Freaks and Geeks, where you're watching it, and it's fantastic, but you want to kill yourself at the same time because it's so awkward and uncomfortable. I'm a big fan of humor that makes people feel uncomfortable. So, all right, so there you go. Don't watch any sitcoms. They're bad for you.
Turning Chef into a child molester and then having a mauled to death by a lion and bear apparently aren't enough for some South Park fans. The Washington Post said fans are starting a campaign urging people to write phone or email Viacom threatening to boycott Mission Impossible 3 unless Comedy Central reruns the episode spoofing Scientology that caused Isaac Hayes to quit.
Well, because that's the thing, because they ran this episode about Scientology. Mm-hmm. They still haven't run it in Britain, by the way. Mm-hmm. We should have told what's-his-name Hans that about his beloved Britain. In England, they won't run it because the libel laws are a lot laxer there, and they would totally get their pantsuit off. So they've never run the Scientology episode in Britain, and they never will. They ran it here. Cruz, allegedly, said that he wouldn't support MI3 if they ran it again, so they pulled it from the schedule. And then, of course, that's the same week that Scientology quit for Isaac Hayes, who's in a stroke and unable to communicate with anybody, yet apparently was somehow able to put together a completely lucid and first-person press release. And so now people are going to boycott Tom Cruise. That makes me happy. Mm-hmm. I'm happy about that.
Meanwhile, when it comes to furniture and his love for Katie Holmes, Tom Cruise just can't help himself. The megastar was the guest of honor at Yahoo's quarterly influential speakers event at the company's headquarters in Sunnyvale, California, bantering with chief executive and answering questions from the crowd. After an impromptu arm wrestling match, Cruz recreated his Opa sofa hopping episode, this time on a chair, to trumpet his joy about his fiancée and their soon-to-arrive offspring.
I'm tired of him trumpeting joy about things. Take it home.
I just want him to go away.
I want him to be mauled by lions.
Yeah.
take it home.
Yep. Yeah. So he's kind of self-distracted.
And then he caressed her pregnant tummy.
Ugh.
I saw another story about that. He's like, let me.
We had a package today on Coin of like his Mission Impossible 3. I was doing all of his own stunts, and he's talking about how the explosions are going to be so much better. And I have no desire to ever see Mission Impossible 3.
I never saw Mission Impossible 2, actually. I remember seeing the first Mission Impossible and just thinking, like, you know, this is a decent film, but it's not good. It's not great. It was passable to me. And then I remember seeing a trailer for Mission Impossible 2 or something and just feeling just so underwhelmed. It's not even that they're terrible films. They're just so uninteresting. You know, blockbusters, and I don't mean to be one of the movies, were better 20 years. It's not that. It's just that, like, I don't know. It just screams bland to me, even with Philip Seymour Hoffman, who I love. I just watched that trailer for MI3, and there's just nothing about it. And maybe it is an age thing. Maybe it's just that I'm out of the blockbuster demo. Maybe I'm old enough that blockbusters don't automatically appeal to me. But it just seems so relentlessly mediocre. That's the thing. And so I'd screw it. And plus, I don't want to give that guy any money.
He's good enough.
F him.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have to break here?
Yeah.
All right. Rick, this email says, well, let's. I'll tell you what. We'll read this when we get back. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour at 1:15, we'll be giving you some stand-up comedy if your name is Steve in Vancouver. We'll be performing stand-up comedy for you. Coming up later on, 1:30, Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio. 2 o'clock, Scott Daly's going to be here. We'll do the today's top five. Top five Aerosmith songs you probably don't hear a lot because the radio never plays them. And, we'll get to all this soon. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. You stay right there, y'all.
Damn, you know I wanna be damned, dancing through the night with you. But if I gotta be damned, you know I wanna be damned, gotta be damned, you know I wanna be damned, gotta be.